Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Samech Ches in Pesachim. We're here in the sixth parak of the Masechta. We have so far involved ourselves only with the first Mishnah. That first Mishnah occurred in Samechem and Beis. And so Samech Vav, Samech Zayin, and today's daf Samech Ches, all continuation of that first Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that when the 14th day of Nisan coincides with Shabbos, so there's going to be Dichui. You're going to push off many of the malachas of Shabbos in order to be able to do the Karban Pesach. The Mishnah itself enumerated four different activities that one's allowed to do, even though it would be a malacha. Shechitas Karban Pesach, Zrikas Dam, Michui Kreva, Vaktaris Chalavav. So all four of those activities we have been discussing. In the course of the discussion, the first off, Samach Vav, so that was a very basic discussion of how do we know that the Karban Pesach is going to be overriding Shabbos. That's Samach Vav. Samach Zayin, yesterday's daf, dealt with the question of how do I know that Karban Pesach is going to override Tumah. Under certain circumstances, Karban Pesach can be brought in a state of Tumah if the majority of the Jewish people are Tumah, so then there is an allowance to bring Karban Pesach. So how do I know? What's the source for that? So that was yesterday's daf. Within yesterday's daf, so there were two opinions, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, who each one of them have a drasha as to how to arrive at that conclusion. Rav Yochanan's drasha has nothing to do with shiluach, has nothing to do with being sent out of the machaneh. But it's Reish Lakish's drasha, which has to do with shiluach. Reish Lakish says that if you look carefully at the halachas of shiluach, of those people who have to be sent out of the Beit HaMikdash, so you'll know carefully over there that it's a diuk. It's not super clear cut, but there's an implication over there in those halachas that there's going to be a moment in time, an occasion where you're going to have only the tamei meis who are going to be in the Beis HaMikdash proper. And what occasion would that be? And that would be Pesach Habah B'Tumah. Karban Pesach is brought in the state of Tumah, so then you're going to have the Tamei Meis who are going to be brought in over there. The Gemara seems to have favored Rav Yochanan's drasha. Abaye resurrected Rav Yochanan's drasha anyway. But as long as the Gemara got onto the topic of shiluach, of being sent out of the Beis Hamikdash, so the Gemara spent a good amount of time, a good part of yesterday, discussing those halachas. Basically, it comes out as follows: is that there are gimel machanos that in terms of the Beis HaMikdash area, so there are three areas of Kedusha, each one of them having more Kedusha as you move more and more interior. Starting from the center, so you have the Makom Shechina. The Makom Shechina is going to be the Azara in the Beis HaMikdash, and that nobody can go into. Nobody who has any kind of Tumah whatsoever. Tumas Meis, Tumas Zav, or Tumas Mitzora, nobody's allowed to be in the Machane Shechina in the Azara. Then you move outward from there, what's the next called Machane Leviya, which is the area of the Har Habayis. So the Tamei Meis is allowed to be there, but the other two are not. Zav and Mitzor cannot be in there. Then after that, you have what's called Machane Yisrael, which is Yerushalayim. So there, the only one who is excluded from Yerushalayim is going to be the Mitzorah. Mitzorah has to be outside of all Gimel Machanos. Good, that was the Gemara yesterday. The Psukim themselves do not make this point perfectly clear in terms of the halachas that we just laid out, but nevertheless, based on Torah Shabbat Peh, we know this information to be accurate. Actually, there is no machlokas regarding this information. There was a machlokas in yesterday's daf between Rabbi Huna and Rabbi Shimon in terms of how to arrive at that information, right? The Brice on the bottom of Samach Zayin and Aleph brought down two opinions, Rabbi Huna and Rabbi Shimon, in terms of how we know this, but that's the halachas as we just laid out. When we say that a Zav cannot go into the Machane Shechina, nor can a Zav go into the Machane Leviya, Zav has to be excluded both from the Azara and from the Har Habayis, so that also comes to include a Balkeri as well. Balkeri, the difference between a Zav and a Balkeri, the Mishnayos say it over, and we've said it over numerous times within the Zav, that both of them have a discharge, but a Zav is it's not a seminal discharge, it's a different type of discharge. We would describe it as like a gonorrheal discharge, but that's just a description. That's not what it is. If a man has a Ziva discharge, he's Tameh. If a man has a Balkeri Tameh discharge, he too is going to be Tameh as well. Both of them are going to be excluded, both from the Machane Shechina and the Machane Leviya, from the Azara and from the Har Habayis. With all that stated now, the Gemara is going to spend a good part of today's daf, the first part of today's daf, going over this halacha, that not only is a Zav going to be cast out from the two of the Machanos, but a Balkeri as well. Let's see all this inside Amar Mar. Picking up where we left off yesterday in Samach Zayin Amud Beis, It's about 8-10 lines from the bottom. The Amud right in the middle of the line. So this is a quote of the Brisa that we saw yesterday. Zav v'chol zav l'rabos balkeri. The pasuk says zav. That the pasuk actually says kol zav. The kol is a riboy. What's the riboy? The riboy is coming to include even a balkeri as well. Balkeri has to remove himself from the two machanos. Misayela the Rav Yochanan. The Gemara says now this Brisa supports Rav Yochanan. I know. Chronologically, the Rav Yochanan is supported by the Brisa. But anyway, Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan has two halachic statements. According to Rashi, these two statements that we're about to learn b'shem Rav Yochanan are not necessarily connected. Just happens to be that Rav Yochanan says them over together. I'm sure there can be connection that's found between the two, but Rashi clearly says that these two things are independent. Rashi writes, "Hani tarti mile." Shaminu ki hadade me rabbe. He heard both of them from his rebbe. V'chi hadade amrinu, and they were just simply said together. But in other words, but according to Rashi, they're not necessarily connected. Halacha number one, mechilos lo niskachu. Tunnels underneath Yerushalayim are not imbued with kedusha, meaning this idea that there's kedusha to the azara, to the harabayas, to Yerushalayim. So that's true, but only from the terrain, from the ground up, but anywhere subterranean. So they're not going to have Kedusha. Tosus notes over here that there seems to be other Gemaras that would indicate otherwise. And second to last, Tosus over here is bothered by that. You can see it's a short Tosus, but there are a couple of Gemaras to go through in order to get through Tosus. Anyway, but let's just say the Gemara Kipshuto, and that is that anything subterranean does not have Kedusha. That's halacha number one. Halacha number two, Balkeri mishtaleh chutz l'shtei machanos. And that a Balkeri is to be sent out of two machanos. That's the halacha of Rav Yochanan. Again, the Braisa that we just learned in yesterday's daf corroborates that very point, in that not only is a zav to be sent out from Shtei Machanos, but also Balkeri as well. Right? Bizmanenu, that would mean, assuming that all Kedushas are the same nowadays that they were back in the day. And obviously without a base of Mikdash, there's much to discuss over there, but let's just say it now simply. Bizmanenu, that would mean that a married man cannot go into neither the Zara, nor can he go into the Harabayas. Right, the Har Bayis, that's Machna Leviyah. So Bizmanenu, if you want to go into the Har Bayis, and like I said yesterday, not taking a position over there whether one should or should not, that you ask your local Rav, but if you're going to go into Har Bayis, so married men are going to be restricted by the fact that they're Balkeri. Now it's resolvable in that they go to the mikvah, but that already is just a point of the Gemara that could translate into nowadays. But anyway. The Gemara is going to be challenging the statement of Rav Yochanan. And that is, we're going to be quoting a couple of brises over the course of the bottom of this Amud, top of the next Amud, several brises, which all are going to suggest that Rav Yochanan is not correct. Now, it's not only Rav Yochanan saying it, it's also the brises saying it. So the truth of the matter is that we're going to defend Rav Yochanan. It's Rav Yochanan, and it's a brisa as well. Brisa number one, Balkeri Kamagasheret. So here, this brisa tells us that a Balkeri is equivalent to that of Tumas Sheretz. Now, Tumas Sheretz, where's the Tumas Sheretz restricted from? So Tumas Sheretz is restricted only from the most interior, only from Machane Shechina. We also learned that in yesterday's daf. So that means to say that a Metami Sheretz can go into Yerushalayim and can go into Har Habayis. And so my Lavla Machane Osam. Now, the Brisa is not really that clear, but the Brisa does create an equivalency between the two. So presumably what that means is that the Balkeri is like a Sheretz, just like a Sheretz. Can go into the two machanos, is only restricted from the most interior, from Machane Shechina. So presumably the same thing is going to be true regarding our Balkeri as well. Now, if that's the correct pshat, so that clearly is going against Rav Yochanan. Lo, the Gemara says that's not the way to learn the Braisa. Lutumasam. It just means that they're equivalent for their level of Tumah, their degree of Tumah. Meaning that a Balkeri is Tummy for one day, Tovel's in the mikvah, and he has an experience as Harav Shemesh, and he's Tahor. And the same thing with the Maga Sheretz, the person who touches the Sheretz. So the Gemara says, really, that's interesting. L'tumasam, hay tumas Harav Ksiv Bey, v'hay tumas Harav Ksiv Bey. I don't need a Brisa to tell me that. Torah Shebechsav tells me that. You read the Pesukim both regarding Tumas Sheretz and regarding a Balkeri. And the Torah says both of them are subject to Tumah only for one day. So I don't need a Brisa for that information. So the Gemara says, so that can't be what the Brisa is telling me. So we're back to Machanosin. If we're back to Machanos, that's a difficulty on Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says not necessarily. La'olam l'tumosam. No, could be we're going to go back to Tuma. V'hakamashlan de'bal kerika magasheretz. Ma magasheretz metame ba'onis. Av balkeri metame ba'onis. So the Gemara says, let's go back to the fact that they're equivalent regarding Tuma. Not in terms of the length of the Tuma that the Pasuk says, but in terms of how they become Tame. So you become Tame with, when it comes to sheretz, whether you touched it willingly or unwillingly, afil ba'onis. You touch a sheretz, even if it was totally beyond your control, you're going to become tamei. And the Gemara says the same thing is true regarding a balkeri. Now, that's an important halacha because, as we already noted numerous times, it's not like a zav. By a zav only becomes tamei if the discharge comes out, not be'ones, right? The Mishnayos, and we saw it already in the Gemara numerous times, the Mishnayos give instances where it's considered be'ones. Anyway, assumption over here is that the balkeri is different than a zav in this regard, that a balkeri becomes tami even if the discharge comes out ba'ones. Good, just like a sheretz, just like tumah sheretz. Meis vei, the Gemara challenges once again as we now are on the top of samech esam adal of bol nida ketami meis, that a bol nida is like a tami meis. Bol nida, man who has relations with a nida, so he is tami, he's tami for 7 days, and he's going to be like tumas meis. They're going to be like tumas meis, so an equivalency is drawn between the two. Lamai. Now, the equivalency is there to teach us what? Ilem l'tumasam. Again, is it coming to teach me about the degree of tumah, the length of tumah? Hai tumah shivak sivbe, vai tumah shivak sivbe. Well, that can't be because, once again, we have Torah Shebichsav. I don't need Torah Shebalpeh to teach me what we already know in Torah Shebichsav. If the Torah Shebichsav already tells me that each one of them is tummy for 7 days, good. So the Torah Shebalpeh, the Braisa that we just learned together, must be teaching me an additional point. So alalav l'machanosam. So must be machanos, meaning what are they going to be excluded from? So we have already established in yesterday's daf that A, Tamei Meis is only excluded from the Machane Shechina, can go into Machane Olivia, can go into Machane Yisrael. So the same thing is true regarding a Bol Nida. That's the only way to learn the Braisa. Now the Gemara says, now this Braisa that we just learned is an extension of the Braisa that we learned on the beginning of Shir today. So the Gemara says, okay, now we have to assume that the Braisa is making the similar point for each one of them, as we just established. The second part of the Braisa Bol Nida is like Tamei Meis, that's for Machanos. Which Machanos they can be in, which Machanos they cannot be in. So that would seem to indicate that the same thing should be true regarding the Balkari and the Magasheretz, that the two of them are going to be equivalent. Midi'iria, Akadisa v'Akadisa. So the Gemara says not necessarily. Each one of them is going to be unique to their point, meaning that the two brises don't have to be making the same point. The first brisa that we learned, Balkari Kamagasheretz, that is going to be talking about the equivalency between the two. And the second part of the brisa, well, that's coming to, the first part of the brisa is talking about how they become tame, and the second brisa is talking about the second Braisa is there to teach us about the fact that they're equivalent for Machanos. So the Gemara says, so the two Braisas are not necessarily there to teach me the same point. And even though we stroke an equivalency in both Braisas, both for the Balkeri to the Magasheretz and for the Bol Nida like a Tamei Meis, but they're not making the same point. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges once again. The Braisa over here continues. Mitzor Chamor Mizav, Zav Chamor Mitamei Meis. So the Mitzora is more chamor than a Zav, and the Zav is more chamor than a Tamei Meis. Now this should sound familiar, because go back to yesterday's Daf, and we made this point very clear in yesterday's Daf, that you can make arguments, of course, that a Tamei Meis has more chamor than that of a Zav, and the Zav is more chamor than that of a Mitzora, but vis-a-vis, we went through all this yesterday, but vis-a-vis the halachas of being sent out of the Machaneh, so we made the arguments that Mitzora is more strict than that of a Zav, that's why the Mitzora has to go out of all three. Zav is more strict than a Tamei Meis, that's why the Zav has to leave two. And the Tamei Meis, which is, I know it's funny, if this statement existed independent of our Gemara over here, it sounds strange, but as we go back to yesterday's Daf, so the Gemara made arguments. And the Tumas Meis is going to be the lightest of them, which means that the Shiluach, the fact that the Tamei Meis is restricted, he's only restricted from the Azara. And then the Braisa makes an additional point. Yatza Balkeri, She mitame meis chamer mimenu. Now this excludes a balkeri because the tame meis is more chamer than it, than the balkeri. Okay, so clearly the Bryce is making a comment about balkeri, but that's the only thing that's clear regarding the Bryce on balkeri. It's really not clear what the Bryce is saying about a balkeri. So the Gemara makes a proposal. Ma yatza lav yatza michlal zav uval chlal tamei meis. Okay, so the Balkeri is going to be excluded. It's going to be different. How is it different? So presumably what the Brisa means is that the Balkeri is not going to be like a Zav, restricted from two machnos, but rather it's going to be like a Tamei Meis, only restricted from one machana. Daha Tamei Meis chamer mimenu, because the Tamei Meis is more chamer than a Balkeri. Umutar b'machna levia. Now we know that the Tamei Meis is allowed to go into machna levia, so Balkeri is also allowed to go into machna levia. This is the proposed explanation of the Brisa. If this explanation is correct, that's problematic. Rav Yochanan said that Balkeri has to go out of two machnos. So once again, it is a brisa that seemingly goes against Rav Yochanan. But again, the brisa itself is not super clear, and the Gemara now makes exactly that point. Lo, yatsa mimachane tamei meis, v'nichnas l'machane zav. So, as far as the Balkeri is concerned, so he's not to be compared to a tamei meis, but rather, he's going to be compared to a zav, meaning that wherever zav is able to go, that's where the Balkeri is able to go. V'afagav de metamei meis chamer mimenu, now, even though if I put a side-by-side comparison of the Balkeri to a Tamei Meis for sure comes out to be more chamor, meaning as opposed to a Zav, which we argued yesterday in the Gemara that a Zav is more chamor than a Tamei Meis, but a Tamei Meis for sure is more chamor than a Balkeri. But the point is, however, is that vis-a-vis the halachas of Shiluach, of being restricted, of being sent out, so the Balkeri is going to be aligned with a Zav, not with a Tamei Meis. And the Gemara goes on to explain very simply. Because as far as the Balkeri is concerned, what's a more comparable? It's much more comparable to a Zav. Consider that a Zav is a discharge. A man has a discharge. A Balkeri is a man has a discharge. Now, granted, the discharges themselves are different in terms of just physically. Right? The Mishnah has to describe how they're physically different than one another. And they're not the same in terms of what the discharge is, but the fact of the matter is that they both are discharges. They're tuma hayotze migufo. And so therefore we're going to put the Balkeri in the same camp, literally in the same camp as that of the Zav. Zav has to be restricted from two. The Balkeri also has to be restricted from two. Adkan, that is now the Gemara's successful defense of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says that the Balkeri has to go outside of two machanos. And so the Gemara challenged Rav Yochanan based on a couple of braces, but the Gemara now has successfully defended Rav Yochanan. Gemara continues to need Tanakami to Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. The following braces was taught in front of Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. The pasuk says Vayatza Mechutz Machane. Now you look over here in the Psukim in Parshas Kisetze, so you will see contextually it's talking about a Balkeri, and the Torah describes now that he's a Balkeri, Yatza Mechutz Machane, he has to leave the Machane. And now the Gemara interjects, the Brisa interjects, and the Brisa says, "Umachne Shchina." That's Machne Shchina, and Lo Yavo El Tocha Machne. He's not allowed to go into the Machne. Umachne Leviya, and that means that he cannot go into Machne Leviya. Mikan LaBalkeri Shiatzah Chutz L'Shtei Machnos. The Balkeri has to excuse himself from two Machnos. Good. So this is a Brisa. Now it's the same Brisa that we saw yesterday. Not the same. Sorry, it's a new Brisa. It's the first time we're seeing it. It's the same point that we made yesterday. It's the same point that we started off our daf, and that a Balkeri is going to be equivalent to that of a Zav in terms of Shiluach. Just like a Zav has to be sent out of two machanos, the Balkeri is as well. What's unique about this Brisa, what's new about the Brisa, is how do we arrive at that conclusion? Yesterday we learned it based on a Ribui. The Torah says, V'chol Zav, and the call is coming as a Ribui to include even a Balkeri. This Brisa is actually making a Diuk in the Pasuk in Parshas Kisetze, where Vayatzel Mechutz HaMachaneh, and Lo Yavol Tocha Machaneh. And the Gemara's assumption is that means that he has to remove himself from two machanos, meaning both machane shchia and machane levia. So Amar Lei, so now this is Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi's comment on the Brisa. Amar Lei akati lo alita afikte, lishna achrin akati lo afikte alite. The Gemara has two ways to ask the question, but the question is effectively the same. And Rashi does spend a good amount of time going over this question, but the basic idea of Rashi, certainly the first pshat, is where's this person right now? Where is he situated right now? Meaning one pasuk says that he has to excuse himself, the other one says he's not allowed to go in. It doesn't matter from where he started. Meaning if he started Machane Shechina, he has to excuse himself. So where does that put him? In Machane Leviya. So what does that mean he's not allowed to go in? He's there already. Or let's start off in Machane Leviya. So he excuses himself. So once he excuses himself, so that's it. He's out already. So, let's say if he excuses himself to Machane Shechina, so then what does he mean he's not allowed to go in? He's well in already. So, Ela Ema, Michos Machanazu Machan Levi Lo Yavo, El Tocha Machanazu Machaneshina. So the Gemara says, you know, we could suggest the following pshat, and that is Chutz the Machan is a reference to Machan Levia, and Lo Yavo El Tocha Machan is a Machan Shchina. So fine. So we could just simply shift around the perspective in terms of where he started off in. So he has to leave Machan Levia, meaning going exterior to Machan Yisrael, and he can't go into Machan Shchina. Meaning, here's how we're going to understand the pasuk. The pasuk is that he's currently situated in Machan Levia. And the two instructions of the Torah is, number one, he has to go. And where does he have to go? Exterior, outward. And where can't he go? Where's the Lo Yavo? He can't go into the Shekhinah. Okay, good. So that's what that's the proposed pshat in the Braisa. It comes out to be the same point, meaning that a Baal Keri has to go out of two machnos. So Maske LeRavina Ema Idivid LeMachne Shekhinah V'Lavor La Be'aseh V'Losaseh. So the Gemara says, I have another suggestion, and that is, why don't we suggest that that really the Baal Keri is only restricted from the Machne Shechina. And as far as the two phrases of the Torah is concerned, one is to tell us a positive commandment, meaning he must excuse himself, and that's a Yetze. And the other one is that there's also a Lav, Lo Yavo, he's not allowed to go in, and just basically a description of a Mitzvah Sase and a Mitzvah Lo Sase. And maybe that's all the Torah is doing. But in terms of where he can go, where he cannot go, it's only Machne Shechina. That's another proposal of how to understand the Braisa. But then, of course, what would that mean is that the restriction of the Baal Keri is only restricted from Machne Shechina. And again, that's not the conclusion that we want to get to. Im kein le makrov yetzel mechutz machne velo yavo el toch machne. I'm sorry. Yetzel mechutz machne velo yavo. If all the Torah is just trying to do is formulate both an asein a losa say, so it should have said the word machne one time and only one time. El toch machne lamali. Why the repetition of the word machane? Shmamina litin lo machane acheres. Give me another machane. Meaning that the Baal Keri has to excuse himself from two machanos. And so therefore the Gemara is going to go back to the previous, explanation, which is that currently he's in Machane Levia. The Torah says that he has to leave. That means go outward to Machane Yisrael. Elo yavo. That means that he can't go into Machane Shechina. Good. Adkan. That takes us to the end of the first part of today's daf. So just to summarize it really succinctly, Rav Yochanan's halacha, which is corroborated by Brises in yesterday's daf, Brises in today's daf, challenged by a couple of Brises, but the Gemara deflected those challenges. Rav Yochanan comes out to the conclusion that a Baal Keri has to leave shtei machnos. A Baal Keri cannot go neither into the Machane Shechina, nor can he go into Machane Levia. The only place that he could reside as a Baal Keri is the same place where a Zav could be, and that's only Machane Yisrael. And translating that to the Beis HaMikdash, that means that the Baal Keri cannot go into the Azara, cannot go into the Har HaBayis, but can only be in Yerushalayim itself. Continuing in the Gemara, we're halfway down. On Tzamech Ches Amud Aleph, Michui Krevav. One of those activities that's allowed on Shabbos for our Karban Pesach. Just as a quick reminder, that Mishnah and Tzamech Ches give four activities that one's allowed to do with the Karban Pesach, even though they would be a violation of Shabbos. So what happened to number two? We just floated right by number two. So number one was the Shechita. So that we've been discussing now for, I'd say 2.5 block, but that's not perfectly accurate. Most of our discussion did not revolve around Shechita, revolved around some of the larger issues and a lot of Shiluach. But anyway, but the first topic was Shechita, and that we covered. The next action that you're allowed to do with our Karban Pesach on Shabbos, according to the Mishnah, is Zrikas Dam. So you'll notice now that the Gemara does not mention Zrikas Dam at all. And as we already described in the Mishnah, discussed in the Mishnah, but I'll just simply say it again. Zrikas Dam, is that Chilul Shabbos? Meaning, it's certainly, you can call it Muksa, but the idea that there would be a Malacha involved with the Zrikas Dam, you're really going to be hard-pressed to come to what the Malacha actually is. In fact, you're going to be so hard-pressed, I'm going to remind everyone, Tosfos in the beginning of the parak. Tosfos writes in the beginning, Zrikas Damo Tana Agav Shechitaso. Zrika is just coming along for the ride, says Tosfos. Meaning because really it's a Shechita, that is a Malacha that we know. But Zrika is not a Malacha. So therefore, Zrika is just simply Agav Orche. It's just coming along because, you know, with Shechita of a Karban, there's of course a Zrika, but Zrika does not actually represent a Malacha. That's Tosfos' understanding. And that certainly goes well with the fact that the Gemara does not discuss it at all. Tosfos is not the only understanding of the Mishnah. There are some Rishonim who suggest that Zrika's Dam is a Malacha. Although that's going to take a little bit of creativity in terms of how we get there. Anyway, but we're going to go on in the Gemara. Michui Krevav. We're now describing the The fact that I'm stumbling in terms of what we're describing is because the Gemara is not all particularly clear. Meaning, we know that it would be a violation of Shabbos, but what that actually is, that's a wonderful question. My michui kreivav, and it's not just a wonderful question, it's the Gemara's question. So what is that? So Rav Huna amar shem nakvam besakin. So Rav Huna says, here's what you're going to do. You take the intestines and you make perforations in the intestine. And that way, all that wonderful stuff that's inside is just going to come out through the perforations. And it's basically a way of cleaning out the intestines. The intestines are going to be burnt on the mizbeach, and it's only covered that that which is inside the intestines are to be removed, and it's going to be done with perforations. Now, how those perforations are exactly a malacha on Shabbos? So that's a wonderful question, and I'm not particularly clear. And continuing in the Gemara, Chia bar Rav Amar Shrika Demaya. So the second pshat of the Gemara is Chia bar Rav, and that is that what you're going to do? You're going to press it with a hard knife, and what you're going to do is you're going to squeeze out that which is inside. So both pshatim of the Gemara basically describe how removing whatever waste matter is in the intestines are going to be removed. It's just a question of whether it's done via perforation or whether it's done via pressure. Good. Amar Rebbe Al-Azhar, my time of the Chia bar Rav Dichsiv. Now, as far as the text is concerned of the Mishnah, and the language of the Mishnah, that michui is pressure and removing the waste that's inside the intestines. So how do I know that? Meaning, where do we find in Tanakh the word michui being used in this context? So, or in a similar context. So the Gemara now quotes a pasuk from Yeshayahu. The pasuk says, v'charvos mechim garim yochelu. So good, that's the pasuk in Yeshayahu. What does that mean? Gemara's next question, my mashma. So the Gemara says, well, the one thing that's for sure is that we have the word mechim. That's in the pasuk in Yeshayahu. But what does that pasuk mean? And it has to tell us about waste removal. So kedem targum Rav Yosef, so you're going to have to go to the targum of Rav Yosef. And throughout Shas, we always have Rav Yosef, well, the Gemara quotes it, right? The Rav Yosef's targum on Anach, a Navi. So Rav Yosef wrote a running targum on Navi, and the Gemara quotes it extensively. So here, today's daf, just an example. Kedem targum Rav Yosef, so here's how Rav Yosef understands that pasuk in Yeshayahu. Miniskem de Rishayim, so the possessions of those who are Rishayim, Tzadike Yechsuyin, Yechsenun. So the Tzadikim are going to inherit it. Okay, good. So basically now the Targum of the word Mechim are Rishayim. That which is bad, that which is wicked. Okay, and it's a little bit of a stretch, but the idea is that which is inside the intestine, so it's Rishayim. It's wicked. It's bad. It's waste matter. Good. All right, and once we quoted the pasuk in Yeshayahu, so the Gemara is just going to stay on the psukim over here in Yeshayahu, and the Gemara is going to get a little bit sidetracked for the rest of this amud. We have another pasuk over there in Yeshayahu, same perek, and Zaru Kvasim Kidabram. I'm sorry, Uru'u Kvasim Kidabram. So Amar Menashe Bar Yirmiyah, so Amar Rav Kimedubar Bam. So explanation of that pasuk in Yeshayahu is that kimedubar bam as spoken by them? My kimedubar bam. What does that mean? So Amar Rabbi v'charfas mechem gerim yochelu. So the Gemara says that the possessions of the wicked are going to be inherited by the tzaddikim, and kimedubar bam as spoken by them, meaning as spoken by the neviim. So Amalei Rav Abishlam iksiv charfas kedekamar. Hashad dichsiv v'charfas melsachrisa kamar. So Rav says to Abaye, look, it's fine that you want to link the two psukim together and say that one is describing the other, but it says vicharvos, meaning sounds like the pasuk in the Navi is making an additional point. Okay, so Ela Amarava, because Rav Chanan Amarav, Damar Rav Chanan Amarav. So Rava says, I think the pasuk in Yeshayahu, that second pasuk that we just cited, is making a separate point. And that is, Atidim Tzidikim Sheyichyu Asamesim. So who's going to be involved in Tchias Amesim? Now, of course, it goes without saying. Ultimately, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Mechayim Esim, but in terms of the vehicle that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to use to be Mechayim Esim, so Kadosh Baruch Hu uses Tzadikim as a vehicle to be Mechayim Esim. Ksiv Hacha Uru Kvasim Kedabram, Ksiv Hasam Yiru Bashan V'Gilad Kimei Olam. So it says Uru Kvasim Kedabram, and it says Yiru Bashan and Gilad. Now, Bashan and Gilad, so what is that a reference to? Basham is Elisha. Basham is the reference to Elisha. And Havam in Abashan, that's where he comes from. Shenemar Vayanu Veshafat Bivashan. So, and Rashi points out Veshafat over here is a reference to Elisha. That's the name of his father. Right, Rashi over here is on both columns. Thank you, Rashi. So Shaphat is the father of Elisha. Uksiv po Elisha ben Shaphat asher yisak mayim al yidei Eliyahu. And Gilad zu Eliyahu. And Gilad is a reference to Eliyahu. Shenemar v'yom Eliyahu hatishbi mitoshvei Gilad. Okay, and Eliyahu, this one's a little more popular. And Eliyahu is Hagiladi, he's from Gilad. And just like they were involved in Tchias HaMesim in the course of their lifetimes, so too in the future, Tzadikim are also going to be the vehicles of Tchias HaMesim. So Amar Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Av Yonasan, Asidim Tzadikim She Yichyu Mesim. The Gemara quotes another Memra. This one said B'Shem Rav Yonasan, that the Tzadikim are going to be the vehicle to facilitate Tchias HaMesim. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Od Yeshvu, Zekenim Zekanos Becharvas Yerushalayim, V'Ishmish Anto Biado, Merov Yamim. So a description of Zekenim Zekenos. So those are the tzaddikim, and then there are people that are going to live for extensive lives, extensive days. A description of tchias hamesim uksiv v'samta mishanto al pnei hanar, and we're going to use the word mishan also in description of the incident in Navi describing tchias hamesim. He puts the mishan on the face of the nar before he does tchias hamesim. Ulam ramuksiv. So we got involved, obviously, in Samagadata, in terms of Tchias HaMesim, who's responsible for Tchias HaMesim. The Gemara now is going to, for the rest of this Amud, sit on three more points of Hashkafa, Agadata. Ula Ramiksiv, Ula notes the following steer between the Psukim. Bila Hamavas LaNetzach, death will be totally discarded, meaning that there will be no more death in the future. Uksiv, Ki Anar Ben Meyashana Yamos, someone who dies at 100, that's considered that he died young. So that means to say that there is going to be longevity, but at the same time, however, people will die. So which one is correct? Meaning there's no death, or that people will live really extended lives? So Lokasha Kam Yisrael Kam Ba'akum. The Gemara says the difference is that one group, Yisrael, are going to have no death, and the Akum are going to have death, but after a really long life. V'ovi Kochavim Mai Ba'yasam. Now, we're describing a future time. Either Tchias HaMesim or either Yemos HaMashiach or Olam Haba. Okay, and in a really lengthy discussion in of itself, but we're discussing a future time. So what are Ovdi Kocham doing over there? Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, V'amdu Zarim Baru Tzonchem Uvnei Nechar Ikarchem V'Kormechem. So the Gemara says that basically what they're going to be doing over there is they're going to be farming, and they're going to be on the vines. Good, they're going to be the workers. Rav Chista Rami Ksiv, Rav Chista notes another story between Psukim. V'chafra levana u'busha chama. The moon and the sun are going to experience embarrassment. Meaning to say that they're not going to be needed anymore. Uksiv aya or levana ko or chama v'or chama yeh shivasayim ko or shivasayamim. And meanwhile, it says how the sun and the moon are going to be producing light that's going to be much greater than the light that they exhibit now. So lokasha kan lalam haba kan leimos mashiach. So here the Gemara says where the two points that we're describing over here in these two psukim, one's talking about olam haba and the other one's talking about yemos mashiach. Yemos mashiach. So there the sun, the moon, they're going to be magnificent luminaries. So the moon is going to intensify, and both the sun and moon are going to produce light that's much greater than what we experience in this world right now. That's during Yemos Mashiach. And then when we get to Olam Haba, so then we don't even need the light of the moon and the light of the sun. There we're going to have the original light. That's the original ore. And so there the sun and the moon are just simply unnecessary. And that's for the Olam Haba. Good. To the best of my understanding, which is beyond limited. So that's the difference between the two psukim. Now, what about Shita Shmuel? Shita Shmuel that we see throughout Shas. The Gemara, right on the side, it's in Brachos, it's in Shabbos. The Gemara discusses much of this topic in the 11th parak of Sanhedrin. So anyway, so Shita Shmuel is that Yemos Mashiach, nothing will change in terms of nature. Nature will remain exactly the same. The only thing that changes during the Yemos Mashiach is just Shibud Machios, that we're going to have an autonomous nation, and we're going to be a sovereign nation in Israel. But that's it. That's the only difference. So if that's true, so how does he resolve the stira between the Psukim and the descriptions of the lights? So Ida v'Ida l'Olam Haba, both are describing Olam Haba, v'lo kasha kam b'machane shechina, kam b'machane tzadikim. Depends whether you're in machane shechina or machane tzadikim. And you can ask me what the difference is between machane shechina and machane tzadikim, but this is where I come to an end. In other words, my pay grade simply does not allow me to articulate what the difference between machane shechina and machane tzadikim. But meanwhile, that is, according to Shmuel, that's the way that we're going to resolve the differences between the two psukim. Rava Ramiksiv, Rava notes another discrepancy between psukim. One pasuk says, Ani amis ve'echaye, uksiv machasiv ani arpe. So I'm going to put people to death. I also resurrect them. And also I'm going to heal. Hasha ichui yamachui marpe lo kol shekein. Now over here, just simple pshat in the pasuk. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to resurrect. You don't think he's able to heal? Ela Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ma she'ani me'emis ani mechaye, kamo she'machatzi v'ani arpe. So the way to understand the pasuk is the following. In other words, who needs to be healed? The person who needs to be healed is the person who got sick. And the same thing is true regarding me'emis mechaye, meaning it's talking about the same person. Kadosh Baruch Hu puts the person to death. But for the same person, he's also going to experience tchias amesim as well. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Ani emeser ve'achia yachol miso be'echad v'chaim ba'acher kederuch sha'olam noheg. Now you could have understood the pasuk the way we just suggested for a moment, and that is a Kadosh Baruch Hu allows people to die, and Kadosh Baruch Hu creates other people. That's how you could understand the pasuk. So Tanu Lomer machatzi v'anir peh ma'makav v'refuah be'echad af miso v'chaim be'echad. So just like healing comes to the sick person, obviously that's the same person. The same thing is true regarding Tchias HaMesim. Same person. So for those who say that there's no Tchias HaMesim in the Torah, there's no reference of Tchias HaMesim in the Torah, so here's a reference. Davar Acher, another pshat, and that is B'tchila Mashani Meimis Ani Mechayeh V'hadar Mashem Echatzi V'ani Arpeh. And the Braisa over here just gives one alternative pshat in terms of how to understand it. So, in terms of the orders of Tchias HaMesim, so person died, usually the person dies from illness. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is first going to do is Tchias HaMesim, so he'll be resurrected with the illness, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will heal him. Another way to understand the pasuk. Good, Ad Kan, that takes us to the end of the Amud Aleph. We are now on the Amud Beis. So a couple of new topics for the Amud Beis. Number one, as we are on the very top of Samech Ches Amud Beis, V'Hektor Chalavav, so the burning of the fats, which is another activity that's going to be dochish Shabbos, right? The Mishnah, the fourth activity of the Mishnah, right? We already spent time now with Shechita, Srikas Dam we skipped, Michui Kreva we just got done discussing, Haktaras Chalav of the burning of the fats, the burning of the fats. It's all the parts of the insides that are going up onto the Mizbeach. So that could be done on Shabbos itself. Tanya, Amar Rebbe Shimon. So the Gemara quotes here a Braisa with an observation by Rebbe Shimon. Barei kama chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. Sharei hekter chalav mevevarim upedarim kshirim kolalai lavein mamtin lehem ad shetech shach. So it's a striking observation by Rebbe Shimon. Look, here's what you could have done, meaning if we didn't know the Mishnah, if we didn't know the Torah Shabbat Peh, so we could have made the following argument, which is, look, the burning of the fats, that's going to violate Shabbos. How about this? How about we don't burn it right now? Meaning, let's just simply hold on to it. And what we'll do is we'll burn it tonight. Tonight is Motzei Shabbos. So it's Yontif. So it's not, it won't involve Chil Shabbos. And so why don't we just say that? By virtue of the fact that the Mishnah tells us, that you burn the fats on Shabbos itself, it's mitzvah b'shaita. Meaning it's the first opportunity. The first opportunity to do a mitzvah is so significant and so important that despite the fact that we could have waited till Motzei Shabbos to burn the chalavim, the halach is that we don't wait. And Rabbi Shimon says is that what we see over here is chaviva mitzvah b'shaita, to do a mitzvah in its proper time, right? The first opportunity you have to do a mitzvah and you do it in its proper time, so that's beloved to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, even allowing the fats to be burnt on Shabbos itself. Good. And obviously with the built-in musr, when we have an opportunity, we should take advantage of it, the first opportunity we have, and we shouldn't delay. And it's obviously related to concepts like Zrizim, Makdim and Lemitzvos, and other such concepts in the Gemara talking about how a person should have this Mida of Zrizus, doing something at the first opportunity, not delaying. Urim Minu, sorry. Harkavas Havavasa. Okay, we are in the Mishnah, and now we're at the next part of the Mishnah, which is the Machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the other Tanaim. According to Rabbi Eliezer, here's what you're allowed to do. You're allowed to carry the animal into the into the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, you forgot to do so, you're allowed to carry it into the Beis HaMikdash. And you are allowed to bring it in from outside of Tchum, and you're allowed to cut off a wart. So those activities are Eino Dochas HaShabbos, they're not going to override the Shabbos. And the Mishnah first positions that they don't override the Shabbos, and Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. Good, and the remaining part of the Mishnah was the back and forth between Rabbi Eliezer and the other Tanaim. Rabbi Eliezer says it's okay, and the other Tanaim say it's not acceptable. You cannot do it. And the reason why, as the Mishnah ends up saying on Samech Vav Amud Aleph, is because it's something that you could have done before Shabbos. It's a malacha she'efshal asosa me'erev Shabbos. Good. So with that stated, so the Gemara is just going to note a discrepancy between our Mishnah here in Pesachim and the Mishnah in Erevin. Urim minhu. Mishnah Erevin. Chotchin yabelos. Remember, this was at the end of the Masechta. Chotchin yabelos b'miktash avalo b'medina v'im b'kli kam v'kanoser. So the Mishnah says that you're allowed to cut off a wart. But you're not allowed to do it with a utensil, but you're allowed to cut off a wart. So are you allowed to or you're not allowed to? The Mishnah Erevin says you're allowed to. Right? Barring, of course, a knife, but you're allowed to in the Mishnah Erevin. You could do so with your hands. And meanwhile, our Mishnah says you can't do so. So that's obviously a discrepancy between the two Mishnayos. So the Gemara has two different approaches of how to deal with this discrepancy. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Chanam Ra'idivi, Biyad. So one way to handle the discrepancy is the kind of wart that we're describing. Habalach, Rabbi Yevesha. It depends whether the wart is either moist or whether it's dry. If it's moist, so then that is removing something from the animal. That's tolesh. In other words, it's ochre davar mi gidulo, uprooting something from where it grows. However, if it's dried, so at that point in time, now it's basically dead skin, and that would not be a problem. So one Mishnah, meaning the Mishnah here in Pesachim is talking about lacha, and the Mishnah Erevin is talking about yevesha. It's dry. That's one way to resolve it. V'chanam ra'idavi debalacha lo kasha habiyan habakli. So, and another way to describe the difference between them is, the Mishnah over there that allows it is talking about with your hand. It's pretty clear in the Mishnah over there, more than pretty clear. It's very clear in that Mishnah over there, it's talking about with your hand. Our Mishnah over here is talking about using a utensil, using a kli. Good. Now, the Gemara notes that these are two different proposals, and why does each one not like the other proposed answer? Why didn't one Amora like the differentiation of moist versus dry? So Amalacha Yevesha Mifrach Pircha. So he says when it's dry, it just crumbles off. And therefore, as Rashi explains over here, that's not considered chaticha. Meaning the verb that's used over here is your chotkin. You cut it off. If it's dry, so you're just scraping off dead skin, that's not even considered a chaticha. So just textually it doesn't fit in the language. Ulamanda Amar Idivi Idibi Avalo Kasha Abalacha Yevesha Maitam Alomar Idivi Idibalacha. So, and the other Amora, why doesn't he like the proposal of the difference between hand versus kli? Amalacha kli akatani asam im bekli kam bekanaser. And well, if all our Mishnah over there is talking about, if all our Mishnah over here is talking about is a kli, well, that's the Mishnah Erevin. Meaning, the Mishnah Erevin spells it out. You can do so with your hand, but you can't do so with a kli. And then, what's our Mishnah just doing? Just teaching us that you can't do so with a kli? Read the Mishnah Erevin and you get it. So v'idecha dektani kli hacha plukta de Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua asalash minan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Mishnah Erevin does not present it as a machlokas. The Mishnah Erevin just simply says you can cut it with your hand, you can remove it with your hand, but you can't cut it with a kli. Our Mishnah is giving us new information. Notably, it's the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. Yes, the accepted position is that you can't do it with a kli, but Rabbi Elazar disagrees, and we wouldn't have known that without our Mishnah. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara, we are on Samech Chesamid Beis at the two dots. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Ma im Shchita v'chulei. The back and forth between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua as to, in terms of whether it's okay. And you remember the argument that was provided, by Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, you go all the way back to the Mishnah. So, the Samech Chesamid Beis. So, Amarle Rabbi Yoshua, Yom Tov Yechiach. Right? This is now, we're just reviewing the Mishnah, third wide line down. So, Yom Tov Yechiach, Shehetir Bo Mishum Malacha, V'Asr Bo Mishum Shvus. You know, on Yom Tov, there are many malachas that you're allowed to do, but there are Isuri Durabban, and even Ochel Nefesh Isuri Durabban that you're not allowed to do. So, Amarle Rabbi Elazar, Mazeh Yoshua, Maris of Rishus Mitzvah. How can you compare? Eating on Yom Tov is a Rishus. And meanwhile, I'm talking about Karm Pesach over here, we're talking about a Mitzvah. Okay, so, in that back and forth, in that short exchange that we just saw over there. So what the Gemara now is going to point out is that we have a couple of Lashitasos. Tanaim being consistent, and that is the following. I'm a Rebbe Lazar. Sorry, let's start right at the two dots. Rebbe Yeshua Latameh. This is Rebbe Yeshua Lashitaso, Damar Simchas Yontav Nami Mitzvah. Rebbe Yeshua's position is Simchas Yontav is a mitzvah. Meaning Rebbe Yeshua says it is a fair comparison. Shechting the Karban Pesach, eating on Yontav, they're both mitzvos, Netanya. And here the Gemara quotes a Braisa. We're going to see the Braisa. Here we're going to see it again in Masechta Beitza. And that is Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Ein Laladam Yontav, Ela O Ocha Veshosa O Yoshe Veshona. According to Rebbe Eliezer, there are two ways to observe Yontav. Either eating or drinking, or learning. But in other words, you could forfeit eating, according to Rabbi Eliezer. If you want to go on a totally spiritual track on Yontav, you may do so, even at the expense of not eating on Yontav. And Rabbi Yoshua Amar Chalkeyu. Rabbi Yoshua says it has to be divided. Chesil achil v'shtiyah v'chesil l'beis ha-medrash. Take Yontav, divide in half. Half of it's going to be eating, half of it's going to be learning. The Amar Rav Yochanan Shnei Mikra Echad Arshu. Rabbi Yochanan says, yep, and they're learning it from the same pasuk. So the Torah itself gives mixed messages about how to observe Yontav. Either it's La Hashem, it's a totally spiritual existence, or it's Lachem. We get to treat ourselves. So Rabbi Eliezer Savar Ukula Lashem Ukula Lachem. So Rabbi Eliezer says, look, it's just simply binary. Either or. Either you go the Lashem route or you go the Lachem route. And Rabbi Yoshua Savar Chalkeo Chesil Hashem Chesil Lachem. And Rabbi Yoshua says, nah, what you're going to do is you're going to split the difference. Half of it's going to be Lashem, half of it's going to be Lachem. Am Rav Elazar Komod and Batzer is to be in a Nami Lachem. Shavuos is that one Yontav where everybody agrees that you have to have Lachem on Shavuos. My Taima, Yom Shenin Nabo Torahu. So Shavuos is the day in which we receive the Torah. So the day which we receive the Torah, so it's like a Siyum. And just like a Siyum, So one of the ways to celebrate and to show the joy that we have over the Limud Torah and the fact that we accomplished Limud Torah, so there we involve food. So too over here, the day that the Torah was given, so that's a day in which there has to be food that's involved to show our joy in terms of how excited we are that we accepted the Torah. So Amar Rabba Akol Modim B'Shabbos Abina Nami Lachem. Rabba's of the position that Shabbos also. Shabbos, you can't skip out on the food on Shabbos. My time of Vikarasla Shabbos Oneg. Pasuk at the end of Sefer Yeshayahu. That says that Shabbos, you have to enjoy Shabbos. And that means you have to have food. I'm Rav Yosef HaKomodim B'Purim to be in Anami Lachem. Purim also has to have Lachem. My time of Yemei Mishnah V'Simcha. Ksivbei in the Megillah, it says it has to be Yemei Mishnah V'Simcha. Marbrei de Ravina Kula Shaisav Yaseh B'Tanisa. And now no more put all this into action. Marbrei de Ravina would be fasting the whole year round. I'm venturing a guess. It wouldn't be 24-hour fast. He can't do that for year round. Meaning during the day he would fast. That's my best, educated guess. Uneducated, whatever. But the point is as follows, is that he would really, withhold from eating with three notable exceptions. Labar mi'atzarta puriya mali yom adikipura. With exception to Shavuos and Purim and Erev Yom Kippur. Now, what about Shabbos? I don't know. Right? We just got done saying that Shabbos also, as an exception, Shabbos you have to eat. So why didn't he include Shabbos in his list? I don't know. And Erev Yom Kippur, where did that come from? Well, we're going to explain that in just a moment. Atzeres Yom Shenina B'Torah. So as far as Shavuos is concerned, Torah was given on Shavuos. As we explained, Purim, Yimei Mishnah V'Simcha Ksiv, and Purim are days of meals of Seuda. And Mala Yom Kippur didn't eat Chia Barav Midifti. So as far as eating on Erev Yom Kippur, so that's also a mitzvah. Pasuk says, "V'nisam es nafshos echem betisha lachodesh." So the pasuk in Emor says that we're going to be fasting on the ninth day. Now, v'chi betisha mitanim v'alo basir mitanim. What do you mean you're fasting on the ninth day? You're not fasting on the ninth day. We're fasting on the tenth day of Tishrei. Alalam alecha kol ocha v'shosa betisha bo mala alav akasa ki'ilu mitanim tshiiv asiri. By eating on the ninth day, it's ki'ilu we fasted on the ninth and the tenth day. Okay, so there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Rav Yosef yumadat sarta amre. So, Rav Yosef, as far as Shavuos is concerned, so Avdili Igla Tilsa, so he wanted the finest meal, the famed Igla Tilsa, right? Either it's a very special type of calf, or it's the third one that comes out, right? Rashi writes pretty consistently throughout Shas, Shlishi Labetan, right? Rashi also offers another pshat, not here, but anyway, something special about the third calf. So, Igla Tilsa, Amr, A Lo Ha Yuma De Kagarim, Had it not been for this day of Shavuos, Kama Yosef Hika Peshuka, so I would be just a regular Joe, with pun intended. So, right, I'd be, I'd just be another Yosef, but the Torah and the Limud Torah, so that created for me a unique feature, a unique asset, gave me chashivas, gave me importance, significance, gave me a purpose in life. What a great way to end the daf. Tomorrow we'll start with Rav Sheshes. Let's quickly recap. Let's review our daf today. And I apologize for the technical difficulties of this morning. But let's review our daf. Number one, Rav Yochanan's halacha that a Balkari sent out of Beis Machnos, that Balkari cannot be in the Machne Shechina, nor can he be in the Machne Leviyah, just like a Zav. Now the Zav, as we learned in yesterday's daf, as far as the Balkari is concerned, so that was an additional point that was made by Brises, and Rav Yochanan says it as well. A couple of Brises that challenged Rav Yochanan, but the Gemara successfully defended Rav Yochanan, that took us to Samech Chesem and Aleph, right in the middle of the Amud. Next topic of discussion today, Michui Krevav. The Mishnah says that the Michui Krevav can be done for the Karm Pesach that coincides with Shabbos. And even though it would violate Shabbos, one is allowed to do Michui Krevav. What is Michui Krevav? So the Gemara gave two explanations. Either it's a perforation of the intestines or it's pressure applied to the intestines to remove all the waste matter. The Gemara needed a Pasuk in Yeshayahu to make this point. And once the Gemara quoted the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, so then the Gemara gave us a couple of divrei agadata hashkafa regarding the Yemos Mashiach and the Olam Haba. And that ended the Amud Aleph on the Amud Beis. First of all, an observation by Rabbi Shimon. You know you could burn the fats on Motzei Shabbos, and yet the burning of the fats to be done on Shabbos. Why? Chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. How beloved is to do the mitzvah in the proper time. Then, the cutting off of the wart, which is a point of contention in the Mishnah. Rabbi Leza says you can, but the consensus viewpoint of the Mishnah is that you're not allowed to. Now, how is this different than the Mishnah Erev? And the Mishnah Erev says that you are allowed to cut off a wart in the base of Mikdash on Shabbos. What's the difference between the Mishnah Erev and our Mishnah over here in Pesachim that says that you can't? The Gemara gives two proposed answers by two Amorayim, and the Gemara explained why each one did not like the answer proposed by the other. And finally, Simchas Yontif. Rabbi Yoshua compares the Simchas Yontif to the shechting of the Karm Pesach. Why? So the Gemara says Rabbi Yoshua is Lashita So. Rabbi Yeshua says it's a mitzvah. Simchas Yontif is a mitzvah. Unlike Rabbi Elazar, who says that Simchas Yontif is optional, but it's not a mitzvah. And the Gemara went through a classic debate between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua regarding whether or not Simchas Yontif is in fact a mitzvah or not. According to Rabbi Elazar, it's just simply an option, but it's not a mitzvah. According to Rabbi Yeshua, it's a mitzvah. And the Gemara notes it's based on the stira between the pesukim. One pasuk says, Atzeres Tiyalachem, another pasuk says that it is Atzeres Lashem Elokecha. So which one is it? Is it Lashem or is it Lachem? So according to Rabbi Yeshua, Chalkei, you divide, you split into two. Chasi Lashem, Chasi Lachem. The Gemara notes that as much as there's a debate between Rabbi Elias and Rabbi Yeshua, there are occasions calendarically where they agree. Shavuos, Purim, Erev Yom Kippur, Shabbos are days in which they agree. And the Gemara finished up with a fantastic and really popular story regarding Rav Yosef in terms of how he felt about Shavuos, making him the man who he is.